Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, September 9th, 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I told you that we got the new September-October Israel, My Glory catalog, and there's an excellent article here. It's by Chris Katulka, who is the Vice President of North American Ministries for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and he is also the host of the Friends of Israel Today radio program. And this is a great article. How Yisrael Chai drowned out death to Israel. You see, Yisrael Chai is the people of Israel live. Two slogans ring across the Middle East, capturing the existential crisis that has long gripped the region. Iran's rallying cry, death to Israel. And Israel's defiant response, Yisrael Chai, the people of Israel live. This clash between hate and hope intensified in June after Israel launched a preemptive strike against Tehran's nuclear sites and key Iranian military leaders, who were seeking to disable the regime's capacity for mass destruction. Iran answered with volleys of ballistic missiles aimed at Tel Aviv, Haifa, and Jerusalem, causing innocent Israeli civilians to bear the brunt of an evil theocracy's fury. Yet Israel's mantra of life, Yisrael Chai, grew louder drowning out Iranian Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's call for annihilation. Death to Israel permeates Iran's identity. The slogan is broadcast over state media and sung throughout the country as a Muslim ritual. Iranian funding emboldened Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis to attack Israel. Iran's national rhetoric embodies a refusal to accept the Jewish state's right to exist, a vow to erase Jewish self-determination. When Iran launches missiles indiscriminately at civilian neighborhoods and schoolyards and open marketplaces, it seeks to terrorize Israeli families by shattering any sense of security. The mantra of destruction is designed to sow fear and signal to the world that Iran's theocracy despises Jewish life. Yet, in the face of fear, Israel and its defenders answer with a different song, one of hope, resilience, and renewal. Israel's chant finds its roots in one of the most poignant moments of the 20th century, in April of 1945, when Allied troops liberated Bergen-Belsen, a German concentration camp. A British Jewish Army chaplain, overwhelmed by the emaciated Jewish survivors, cried out, "Am Yisrael Chai." Those words, uttered amidst ash and death and shattered hope, proclaimed that a people who had suffered genocide would endure. From the smoke of that concentration camp to the rockets of today, Am Yisrael Chai has embodied the conviction that where death is threatened, life will answer. When open conflict broke out in June and Israel's enemies terrorized the innocent and promoted death, the Jewish nation responded by preserving life, both that of their own citizens and the Iranian citizens. Israel and Iran are locked in a battle, not merely of weapons or borders, but of narratives. Death to Israel promotes an end to Jewish life. Am Yisrael Chai promotes a future. The affirmation that history is not over, that God's covenant of protection over the Jewish people, Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless Israel, I will curse those who curse Israel," extends beyond the grave to the heart of God's plan for them. It also invokes the prophet Ezekiel's vision of dry bones coming back to life, Ezekiel chapter 37, insisting that even when the Jewish people appear most vulnerable, there remains a divine promise of restoration and renewal. Since 7 October 2023, Israel has shifted its military strategy from a defensive one to an offensive stance, largely dismantling Iran-backed proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, and isolating Ayatollah Khamenei. The terror network Tehran assembled to influence the Middle East and destroy Israel appears to have toppled like dominoes in only a few months' time. With each day that passes since Hamas attacked Israel, the mantra, Am Yisrael Chai, continues to drown out the death cry of Iran's regime. This is the power of hope in God's promises against the hate and deception of the devil. Israel's mantra does not merely counter destruction, it overwhelms it. In the end, when history records these days, it will not be the missiles that define the moment, but the resolute chorus of a people who will not be extinguished because of a God who loves life more than death. Am Yisrael Chai. The people of Israel live because the one who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121, verse 4. The angelic conflict is raging all around us. And temporarily, the devil is in the driver's seat in the world. He is the ruler of planet Earth. But that will change with the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be put in prison. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule this planet for 1,000 years in perfection. Perfect environment, world peace, in righteousness and justice and great prosperity, until the very end when Satan's released from prison, and there will be the Gog-Magog revolution, but that will be a very short one. Fire will come down from heaven and that's it. Satan and his angels will all be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Now we are in Zechariah, and by the way, there's so much we're in Zechariah. We're only in chapter 3. A lot of these things will be covered in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5, let's look at the corrected translation of that. In Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2, we have Joshua, who is the high priest. Joshua's condemnation by the prosecuting attorney, Satan himself. Verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, and Satan standing on his right side to act as adversary, his enemy, and accuse him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his defense attorney, said to Satan, The Lord God the Father rebuke you, Satan. The Lord God the Father, who has elected Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a burning branch rescued, delivered from the fire? Demanding the answer, yes. Then in verses 3 through 5, Joshua's cleansing by the defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. We know that this is clothes covered with excrement. And was standing before the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the defense attorney. Verse 4, the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered and spoke to those who were standing before him, saying, take off his filthy clothes and remove them from him. And then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, said to him, Joshua, see, I have taken away, I have removed your sin, iniquity, and punishment from you. And I will cause you to be clothed with rich garments. Then I said, this is Zechariah's interruption. Then I, Zechariah, interrupted, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the holy robes of the high priest on him, while the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, was standing by. Now that brings us to verses 6 and 7. And the Lord Jesus Christ will speak in verses 6 and 7. And the Lord is going to charge Joshua, the high priest. This is Joshua's charge from Jesus Christ himself, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this warning. This is a warning. This charge to high priest Joshua, saying, now, three divine blessings were promised to Joshua if he fulfilled two conditions that are given by Jesus Christ in this charge to him, this warning to him. The first condition was to walk in God's ways. This is a warning, a charge, a command to High Priest Joshua to walk in God's ways. And the second condition was to keep or obey God's mandates. So the first condition, if you walk in my way, God's way, and then we took some time to look at the doctrine of walking. What we have in Zechariah 3:7 is spiritual walking. In the Old Testament, this demanded being in fellowship with God and obeying the mandates of God through positive volition and humility. It's different in the church age. In the church age, spiritual walking is the MO of the church age believer living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. And we studied the doctrine of walking in great detail, except for the last point. And so the last point, you ready? 12. There we go. And there are many passages in the Bible that talk about negative walking. And that's the last point, negative walking. So turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we've seen this several times in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. And this is one of those passages that here's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was a man's man. He didn't run around crying like you see a lot of these fundies on TV. They're always crying on TV. I can't even watch that. But the Apostle Paul was a man's man. He didn't go around crying. But when you have given the grace gospel to people and they respond and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then they're positive, and you teach them the Word, and you teach them the Word, and they're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you see, and then you see them peel off after you gave them the gospel, after watching their salvation, after watching them start out on the right track and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and then they react to something. They react to something and they peel off. And for any faithful communicator of the Word of God, it's really tough inside for a faithful communicator at that point. And that's the way it was with the Apostle Paul here. Philippians 3:18. For as I have often told you before, and now teach you again, even with tears, many walk, these are many believers now, are walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. They're walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, the sin unto death. Their God is their emotions, and their glory is to their shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Their mind is on earthly things. And that broke the Apostle Paul's heart. And it does any faithful communicator. And I have seen that. It's true, been true for me and my ministry and life here. And true for any faithful communicator. It gets you. It breaks your heart. Turn over to 1 John 1:6. First John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and yet we walk in darkness, Satan's cosmic system, by the lust patterns of our sin nature, out of fellowship with God, we lie. We're liars. And we do not practice the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God. We're just liars. And there's a lot of Christians that are out there running around. Oh yeah, I have fellowship with God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yet they're walking out of fellowship with God in darkness. And they're nothing but liars. And they are not practicing the absolute truth of God's Word. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brethren, fellow believers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as sarkinos, carnal. You're carnal believers. You're not in fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship with God. You're carnal believers. You're merely babies in Christ, spiritual babies. I gave you milk, only basic doctrine, not advanced doctrine, not solid food, because you're babies, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for advanced doctrine. You're still sarkinos. You're still carnal. You're still out of fellowship. You're still living by the lust patterns of your sin nature. You're still living in Satan's cosmic system. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not sarkinos, carnal? Are you not walking as mere unbelievers? Yes, you are. Can't tell you from the unbeliever. Here you are, you're believers, but you're walking out of fellowship with God by your lust patterns of your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, Satan's cosmic system, but will have the light of life. Now turn over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? You say, no, they're 24, right? Okay. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, out of fellowship with God and Satan's cosmic system, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And then turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer, just as the Gentiles also walk. Stop walking like the Gentiles are walking. How's that? In the mataiotes of their mind. So, mandate. Do not walk. Stop walking like the Gentiles are walking in the mataiotes of their mind. All right, well, that's the negative walking passages. So Zechariah 3, 6, and 7a, we are just partway getting into verse 7. Then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this warning. He gave this charge to Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. If, first condition, if you will walk in my ways, God's ways. That's condition number one. Now that brings us to condition number two. And if thou wilt keep my charge. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the conditional particle im once again. Introducing condition number two, plus the nifal imperfect of shamer, plus the direct object marker, and that's very important for me. It tells me what the direct object is, but there's no, you don't translate it. But it's, I wish they had that in English. They didn't have that in English, but have in Hebrew, that's a great thing. Direct object marker, eth, joined by a makef to the noun Mishmeret with the first person singular suffix. The conjunction vav is the connective vav, correctly translated, and. The conditional particle im is correctly translated if, and it introduces condition number two, two conditions. This is condition number two. It is comparable to the Greek third class condition. Maybe you will keep my requirements, and maybe you won't. Third class condition. And then we have Shamer. S-H-A-M-A-R, Shamar. Okay, a couple of things on Shamar. First of all, one, literally it means to keep, to watch, to preserve. Literally it means to keep, to watch, to preserve. Point two, figuratively, Shamar means to have charge of or to carry out. To have charge of, to carry out, and what are you being in charge of and carrying out? Mishmeret, with the first person singular suffix. M-I-S-H-M-E-R-E-T, Mishmeret. All right. Great word. Couple of things. One, literally, Mishmeret means the function of guarding. The function of guarding. The function of watching over. The function of having charge of, the function of guarding, the function of watching over, the function of having charge of. Point two, when this word is used with regard to the high priest, as it is in our verse, it means one, perform the service imposed by the Lord's mandates. Perform the service imposed by the Lord's mandates. And secondly, perform the service required by the Lord's mandates. So when it's used of the high priest, as it is in our verse, then it means to perform the service imposed by the Lord's mandates. Perform the service required by the Lord's mandates. Now we have the high priest here in our passage. Now we live in the church age and our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are all have been commissioned a royal priest. We're in a royal priesthood. But just as the Lord has these conditions for the high priest, he has the same kinds of provisions and profile for the pastor teacher as a communicator of the word of God today. And he says the same thing to the pastor teacher. You have the gift of pastor teacher? Here is your job profile, Pastor Olson. Here's your job profile, Pastor in the church age. Make sure you carry out that job profile. So the pastor has to know that job profile inside and out and then execute it. And he's held responsible just as the Lord is holding Joshua responsible for the job profile for the high priest. So when it's used of the high priest, it means perform the service imposed by the Lord's mandates, perform the service required by the Lord's mandates. Three, the high priest has a very specific profile, and Joshua must fulfill the job profile of the high priest. That's the warning. That's the charge here that Jesus Christ has given to him. There's a job profile for you, Joshua. You make sure you execute it. Fulfill it. So the high priest has a job profile and Joshua must fulfill the job profile of the high priest. Four, that job profile includes several things. It includes teaching the Word of God. And he has a responsibility to teach the Word of God. There's a job profile for the pastor teacher, and that is to teach the Word of God. To study and teach, study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. That's the job profile. Now, the job profile of the pastor teacher is not to change the hinges on the door of the church. That's not in the job profile. But there is a board of deacons, and those deacons have a lot of responsibilities. And our doors have been out here since I've been here. That's about 100 years. And they're coming apart and falling apart, and they need to be replaced. And so here I got all these deacons are working hard on, they have special people out here redoing the doors and putting new hinges on the door. This is the deacon do all. I don't do one damn thing on that stuff. Then the deacons came to me. They guarantee to put this on that it will function 1,000,000 times. A million times. I said, well, that ought to take care of it for you and me anyway. 1,000,000 times. But then they have this kicker. But every 6 months, we have to come out and take a look at it. And so my next question to the dean, how much is that going to cost? But you see, I would say to them, you told me this was good for 1,000,000 times. Why do you have to come out? We won't use it 1,000,000 times in 6 months. But they got to keep coming out every 6 months. Well, you know, the bottom line is the mighty dollar. And we don't do these things unless we get that mighty dollar. So anyway, that's the board of deacons. They're in charge of the doors. They're in charge of so many things. They do a fabulous job. I have no complaints at all with my board of deacons. They are the best of the best, and they do a fantastic job. And because they do a fantastic job, I can fulfill my job profile. And my job profile is to study and teach, study and teach, study and teach, and set policy. And I set policy based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. So yes, I am a policy maker, and the policy for Upland Bible Church is established by me according to the absolute truth of the Word of God. And so there's a policy. And you violate that policy, well then you're violating that policy. The policy that we operate by is based on God's absolute truth. Aletheia, absolute truth. So first of all, the job profile includes teaching of the Word of God. Secondly, it involves teaching by ritual. And that was the ritual plan of God in the age of Israel. So a lot of the teaching was through ritual. So they had to, that was a part of the job profile. And then third, it includes the Levitical sacrifices. Administration of the Levitical sacrifices and carrying those all out. Animal sacrifices. In the age of Israel, the priesthood offered animal sacrifices. Today in the church age, and you're, as a royal priest, you offer spiritual sacrifices. Not animal sacrifices, but every one of you as a royal priest are to offer spiritual sacrifice that please God. And then, four, to carry out the modus operandi in the temple itself. The MO in the temple itself. And fifth, that job profile includes governing the temple. So we have, thus says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. If, condition number one, if you will walk in my ways. And condition number two, if You will keep and carry out my requirements, my mandates. All right. One, if Joshua fulfilled these two conditions, then three divine blessings were promised to Joshua. If Joshua fulfilled these two conditions, then three divine blessings were promised to Joshua. Point two, condition number one, if Joshua walked in God's ways. That's a charge. This is the warning. You have to walk in God's ways. Make good decisions to keep the Lord's mandates. Point three, condition number two, if Joshua faithfully performed his priestly service duties to the Lord. Four, then Joshua would enjoy three divine blessings. Then Joshua would enjoy three divine blessings. So let's take a look at those divine blessings. Divine blessing number one, then thou shalt also judge my house. Well, that's the King James. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the adverb gam, which is joined by a makef to the personal pronoun atah, plus the cal imperfect of the verb deen, plus the direct object marker eth, joined by a makef to the noun bayith, with the first person singular suffix. The conjunction vav is a correctly translated then, and then the adverb gam. That's G-A-M, gam, and gam is correctly translated also. And then the personal pronoun atah. Aleph, see that doggish right there? That's a doubling duck. So Aleph, A-T-T-A-H, atah. And atah is you, and you is Joshua the high priest. And then we have the verb deen. That's D long I-N, deen. So the verb, point one, deen literally means to judge. It's the verb to judge. Two, it meant to act as a judge, to plead the cause, to execute judgment. Those were all meanings of it, as to act as a judge. Three, however, when the high priest is the subject, as it is in our verse, then it means to govern. Then it means to govern. And then we have point four, bayith, to govern the bayith. B-A-Y-I-T-H. His job is to govern the bayith. And the bayith literally is a house, first person singular suffix, my house. My house is the Lord's house, and the Lord's house is the temple. So, blessing number one, then you will also govern my house, the temple. The first blessing, you will govern my house, the temple. Blessing number two, divine blessing number two, and shalt also keep my courts. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the adverb gam, reiterated, plus the nifal imperfect of shamer with the second person singular masculine subject, plus the direct object marker once again, f, joined by a makef to the masculine plural of the noun katser. Gam, when you have vagam, which is what we have now, That's Vishvajam, Vagam. Vagam, you translate it, and also, or and likewise. We'll translate it, and likewise, and then the verb shamer. S-H-A-M-A-R, shamer. And shamer, point one, once again, shamer literally means to keep, to watch over, to preserve, literally. To keep, to watch over, to preserve. Two, figuratively, shamer means to have charge of or to protect. To have charge of and to protect. Three. In the Niphal stem, which is what we have, it means to be on one's guard. To have the charge of protecting. To be on one's guard, to have the charge of protecting, to have the charge of protecting what? I'm glad you asked that. Kotzer. C-H-A-T-S-E-R. Kotzer. To have the charge of protecting the kotzer, the courts of the temple. Kotzer, the courts of the temple. So point four, divine blessing number two is to be a protector of the temple. What is he protecting the temple from? To protect the temple from idolatry? Protect the temple from evil practices. Protect the temple from religious defilement. He has a very, very important job. That's why Jesus Christ is giving him this charge, this warning. Divine blessing number two, to be a protector of the temple. Protecting the temple from idolatry, from evil practices, and other religious defilement. So the corrected translation. Then, divine blessing number one, then you will govern my house, the temple. And divine blessing number two, and likewise, you will have charge of my courts, protecting the temple from idolatry and from other religious defilement. That's divine blessing number two. Now divine blessing number three. And I will give thee places to walk among these who stand by. Ooh. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the cal perfect of the verb nathan, with the first person singular subject, plus the preposition lamav, with the second person singular masculine suffix, plus the noun mahalak, with the preposition bath, and the cal active participle of amav, and the demonstrative elah, with a definite article. All right, the conjunction vav introduces divine blessing number three and is correctly translated and then the verb nathan. This is an amazing blessing number three. Nathan is the Hebrew verb to give. You know anybody named Nathan? Well, that's Hebrew for to give. First person singular subject, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ is the subject. And then the preposition lamed with the second person singular masculine suffix is to you, to Joshua, to you, Joshua, the high priest. So we have, and I, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, will give to you, Joshua, the high priest, Mahalak. M-A-H-A-L-A-K, Mahalak. Now, this is a noun, Mahalak, and it, guess what it comes from? It comes from halak, the Hebrew verb to walk. So Mahalak literally means a walk or a journey. In the plural, which is what we have, it means goings or free access. And the best way to translate this is free access. Free access. And then the preposition baith, which literally means in, however, of presence in the midst of a multitude, as we have here, it means among. And there's a multitude here. We have the demonstrative pronoun, Elah, these, and who are these? The multitude of angels. And then we have the phrase, cal active participle of Amav. I-N-A-M-A-D, Amav. Now, amath is the verb to stand, cal active participle. The ones who are standing here. So, and I, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Jesus Christ, will give to you, Joshua, the high priest, free access among these multitude of angels standing here. This is blessing number three. What a blessing this one is. Wahoo. And I, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Jesus Christ, will give to you, Joshua the high priest, free access among these multitude of angels standing here. One. Those who are standing are distinguished from Joshua's fellow priests who are sitting. Now, that's coming up in verse 8. The Joshua's fellow priests are sitting. So we're not talking about the fellow priests. So those who are standing are distinguished from Joshua's fellow priests because they are sitting. And that's coming up in verse 8, and I'll go ahead and give you a preview of the coming attraction here. Hear now with intense concentration, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your associates, the ones who are seated, your associates are the fellow priests, Levitical priesthood, the ones who are seated before you, the Levitical priesthood, for they are men symbolic of things to come. They are types. For behold, I am going to bring forth my servant, the Messiah, his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, first advent, and the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. But notice the Levitical priesthood, they're sitting. They're not standing, they're sitting. So those who are standing are distinguished from Joshua's fellow priests because they're sitting. Second Zechariah 3, verse 8. Point 2. Those who are standing are the angels. Those who are standing are the angels. What a blessing. 3. Like the elect angels, Joshua will have access to God. Like the elect angels, Joshua will have access to God. Four, Mahalak in the plural means free access, referring to Joshua the high priest, free access to God. Mahalak in the plural means free access, referring to Joshua's free access to God. Five, the elect angels will defend him and protect him, and they will be involved in his ministry. The elect angels will defend him and protect him, and they will be involved in his ministry. So the warning, the charge, verses 6 and 7. Then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this warning, this charge to Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will walk in my ways, condition number one, and if you will keep and carry out my requirements, condition number two, then, divine blessing number one, you will also govern my house, the temple. And likewise, divine blessing number two, you will have charge of my courts, protecting the temple from idolatry and other religious defilement. And I, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Jesus Christ, will give to you divine blessing number three, free access among these elect angels standing here. Now there's the charge, verses 6 and 7. That brings us to Joshua's cleansing, confirmed, verses 8 through 10. And that's where we're going to start next time. And this is fantastic. This, what we have here, what's going in this vision, Joshua, the high priest, and the Levitical priesthood is a type. It's a symbol, symbolic, it's a type, typology of what's coming. What's coming when Jesus Christ, who is the branch, who is the servant, my servant, that's the first advent of Christ, and the branch, the second advent of Christ, and this is all typology of what's going to happen down the road. This is really fantastic. All right, well, we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.